case in Montana where the magistrate has recommended that a case will be dismissed. And I hope they abide by that recommendation. I really do personally, because I think this is a messy, messy case. But for the argument of somebody who was invited to be a friend of court, I think this is dangerous both to the United States government, the state of Montana, to the plaintiff, and I think it's dangerous to the people of the United States as well. So it would be, this is my personal preference, is that this case would be actually dismissed for lack of standing, because there's a little bit, there's too much hypothetical here. And it's very hard to make a very concise decision on what law should apply when there's hypothetical. So based on that, I hope they do dismiss it. Now, at the end of this recommendation to dismiss it, the judge went on to say that the supremacy clause basically makes it so that the federal government can do what they want with regard to this issue. Now, my hope is if it doesn't get dismissed, that somebody's going to pay attention to the argument of this friend of court brief given by Mr. Titus from the William J. Olson PC law firm that was invited by several gun advocacy groups to weigh in. And here he actually quoted the statute, the federal statute, said, when they defined commerce with regard to the gun statute, Congress said, the term interstate or foreign commerce includes commerce between any place in a state and any place outside of that state, or any place in a state and with any possession of the United States. See, the United States is actually foreign to Montana. It's interstate or foreign commerce. See, interstate would be Montana to Idaho. Foreign would be the United States in some cases. I've even seen court cases say that the state or the United States was foreign to one of the several states because there's the United States, that is a state, and then there's a state of Florida, etc. So it says, term interstate or foreign commerce includes commerce between any place in a state, any place outside of that state, or with any possession of the United States or District of Columbia, but such term does not include, listen to this, expressly, such term does not include commerce between places within the same state. So Congress has already declared in this Gun Control Act that if you're doing business in the state of Florida, their regulation doesn't apply to you. There's no plenary power. There's no civil requirement. That means that there's no regulatory authority whatsoever, even in the congressional law. Mr. Titus went on to say, Congress had in mind that the interstate commerce still remained in the hands of the state. That would be Montana or Florida if they would go ahead and exercise their jurisdictional rights. Right now, it's just a natural right that somebody could do. And most likely, if somebody kicked in their door and shot them up, most Floridians would think, oh, it's the federal government. They were enforcing the law. Actually, they'd be being lawless and murderers. But most people wouldn't know it until now that you've heard it on the Truth Attack. Mr. Titus said it's extremely important to see in this statute the only thing that's prohibited of a licensed dealer is an interstate activity, not an intrastate activity. This was pretty important. Then he went on to bring on another point. He said, let's think about this, Judge, and I'm going to summarize here. What if does Congress have the authority to regulate publishing of papers because under the Interstate Commerce Clause? No, they don't. It's a First Amendment right. There's really no authority constitutionally for the federal government to be getting involved with your differences when somebody has the freedom to publish something and they just abused that privilege. Then, if you're damaged, you can sue them personally. That's between you. It's not the authority of Congress to regulate. It's a First Amendment right. The right is on par and parallel and just like the right to have guns. With regard to commerce, though, commerce, property right, conducting a livelihood per se, is one of those pursuits of happiness issues. there are some things with regard to commerce, because the state is, if you go back in the history of the forming of governments and the governments that we have, it was recognized that it was really a mechanism where you would regulate those commercial activities for all kinds of reasons, for the people in general, the people in Commonwealth, all kinds of things, between two parties who may be abusing each other's privileges or things like that, or interfering or becoming a nuisance. There's all kinds of reasons why states have the ability to regulate commerce, either within a state or among states. There's all kinds of reasons. So you don't have a natural right for commerce. So there is a thing where the state can regulate it, but you do have a natural right to keep and bear arms. Now, you can make your own, or you could have somebody make it for you, and then you engage in commerce and purchase it. But you don't necessarily have a natural right to go buy a gun from somebody else who manufactured it. So those are the details of law. Those are little intricacies that we have to look at, and we can't be checking our brains out at the door. So I would think that most people, even in our listening audience, listening to the Truth Attack, would think that Congress is the right to really to make all kinds of regulations with regard to guns. Well, what happened is because the states were not exercising rights or maybe enforcing things, and there was an issue where how do you chase down somebody in another state? Maybe they violated the law of one state, but the state went into, they didn't violate that law. That gets a little bit tricky. So there is a place where Congress can maybe impose some regulation with regard to interstate commerce. Again, I'm David Allen Carmichael with a heady discussion, brain-damaging though it may be, calorie-burning though it may be. What do you think? Is it possible that we really have been duped with regard to the powers of the central government? It's not supposed to be a central national government. It is literally supposed to be a mediator between Florida and its peaceful activities with Alabama and Georgia, its neighbors. It does have some neighbors along the coast and the waterways where it can communicate. It's bordered by an ocean to Texas and Mississippi and Louisiana. What if there's problems between Florida and those states? And that's why you have a federal government. You really do have some rules and laws that would mitigate some of the behaviors that each state would not just have the sovereign right to go to war or take a stand against one of the other states, that there is a mechanism of peace between them. That is the purpose of the federal government. It's not to be a national centralized power that has what they call plenary authority, one of the people. It's not supposed to be a god that we minister to, that we serve. It's supposed to be a minister of God for our good. And it's a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. That means you, the people, have to be responsible to make sure, as a grantor of power, to make sure your trustee is abiding by the rules of the trust for the sake of the beneficiary, your neighbor. That's a pretty heady concept. I think it is important for Florida to seriously not just abdicate gun control to the federal sector. I think it's important for Florida to take on the responsibility to regulate those things within its own powers. And if you look at the 10th Amendment and even see cases where government's reviewing things, even going back to Roe versus Wade, the Supreme Court in many cases will say, what is the state doing? They'll look to figure out what is the state doing already, and so that it's something that really nobody should be doing anything. But if the states aren't doing anything, there's times when you leave a void that somebody will come along and fill it. Caller, thank you for calling Frank Talk 104.3 FM. What's your question or comment on this Truth Attack?
Basically, you said there's not a right to be able to purchase a firearm.
Well, there's not a right necessary. No, there isn't. To manufacture for sale.
Then, because I'm joining the program late.
Okay.
And it's late in the program.
Okay.
This is Nick, and I have a technical question for you.
Okay.
Do American citizens have a natural right to self-defense?
Yes.
Would that natural right to self-defense reach in these modern times to ownership of a firearm?
Yes.
Okay, then we do have a right to buy a firearm, because how else are you going to acquire it other than gift or manufactured yourself?
Let's say this. I got to watch how I use the term right. There are privileges and immunities, and some people think a privilege is not a right. No, a privilege is a right. There's a difference between a privilege and an immunity. They're two sides. They're the obverse and reverse of the right coin. An immunity is basically...
It can be removed.
Well, no.
Right can't.
No, that's not true. Let me just tell you. You have a right... Listen up. You have a right to protect yourself. You have a right, and if you manufacture your own arm, your own gun, and get those materials that are necessary to that end, then that would be one thing. Now, the thing is, for somebody to engage in manufacturing, whether it be a gun...
Reliving, I understand.
Okay. Or anything. Yeah, a gun or a little flute, and sell it to his neighbor. There are, you know, in the history of American law and law merchant and all the little combinations of law, of the foundation of American law, there is a practice of government either taxing it, like they can't tax your ownership of a gun. It's a natural right. It's a mechanism. Now, they could tax your purchase of a gun. See, that's the distinction. There's a place where Florida could tax it.
The prohibited persons now, they can restrict your natural right to self-defense.
No, it's a matter of if I can build my gun, I can build my sword, I can...
Not if you're a prohibited person under federal law.
Well, tell me how you're prohibited.
Anyone who's a federally convicted felon from Martha Stewart on down.
Hmm.
They prohibited a person. Any person who is determined mentally defective.
Okay.
At any time.
What's the consequence of a felony?
I'm sorry.
The very term felony means it's a capital offense. You are basically walking the earth as a pleasure of, they used to claim, protection of the clergy. Basically, you're not going to be put to death this time. You're going to walk free, but you do it again, you're dead. So essentially a felony, ultimately, you're lucky to be walking around. So there are some things about felonies.
Under the definitions and expansions under interstate commerce, going back to Wickard v. Filburn, and the long reach that the federal government has made in the creation of 66,000-plus federal felonies now.
Well, if you have actually committed a felony and were convicted of it, and it happens to be a federal crime, and it was literally, they had the jurisdiction to try it and all those kind of things, and you're walking alive without your head cut off, if you go back in the foundations of law, you're actually living according to their mercy. And that's something people don't understand.
Your head cut off for lying to investigators?
Now, what's interesting, if that's happened to you, this would be a great interview that we could conduct in detail, and I think it'd be very interesting. Is this something that happened to you?
I think you'd be very interested in that research that I've done.
Okay.
And yes, I qualify as a disqualified person, first of all. Second of all, Martha Stewart did not commit a capital offense, but she was still charged and convicted of a felony.
And you know what that indicates? And this is, again, tough for our audience to hear. The fact that we're having this conversation is a good thing, because what happens is we need to get woken up. And what's happened is we have taken a power and executed as if our government, or the central government that shouldn't be a central government, is acting like a god and making things a wrong that possibly might not ought to be. And I think what's happened is we're going to have to...
A misdemeanor.
Well, you're saying it's a misdemeanor and they're prohibiting the use of fire or ownership of firearms?
Should have been convicted of a misdemeanor.
Okay.
Not a federally prohibiting felony for the rest of her life.
Oh, I agree. I agree with you. I agree with you.
And, you know, if you really want to punish a person of that caliber and nature, fine her $500,000 and make it a misdemeanor.
And let her pay her dues and walk accordingly with a clean record and not perpetually a criminal, so that everybody in the nation has to be tracked to make sure you're not her. You know, I mean, there's a whole lot to this. I appreciate your call. Fabulous call.